Children, children, future, future.
Hoos, good evening.
Hey, man.
Hey. So it is thunderstorming and rainy and humid here in Amsterdam, which is a pretty rare event. It's not too often you get thunderstorms of this nature. It's quite exciting. And we're also sitting inside pouring sweat doing this podcast.
Yeah, it's the end of, or the final punishment at the end of a nice warm and sunny day. That's how we do it here.
It was a beautiful day. And even once the thunderstorm's clear, it's going to cool off. It's going to be beautiful. We can open the windows. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be some nice restful sleep.
Good night of sleep. No mosquitoes. Perfect.
Exactly. Now, for this week's episode, we have some cool philosophical discussions that have been internal to Raft, and we wanted to bring them out to the podcast audience here. So, 2 weeks ago, we started talking, or we didn't start talking, but we talked about the Google I/O event.
Yep.
And we talked about the Google Assistant and how that's all coming together. And then we also went into a little bit about the need for designers to look at personality or voice, tone of voice, or the actual physical voice. Or they could be looking at, in the last month, we've discussed it, how designers need to look at ethics or privacy. And we've gone broadly around this entire topic of where design goes from a discipline point of view. And internal to Raft, we get in these conversations once a week that just, you know, go on for 30 minutes about what happens to design as a discipline over the next 2, 3, 5 years, 10 years. And that's what we wanted to bring to this podcast, because we do think it's quite an interesting conversation. And for any designers, especially younger designers who listen to this, who are in their early 20s, I really have to imagine what design looks like right now is going to be incredibly different from what design looks like 10 years from now. And why that's so important, and why this is actually a really critical topic to bring up right now, is in my career, and Hoos, I mean, you're younger than I am, but you'll also experience this. I graduated, or I started working in the early 2000s, and that was all about application design, right? Like operating system design. We didn't have the iPhone yet. But then the iPhone came along, and it became about mobile design. But essentially, the mecca of design was screen-based digital work.
Yeah.
10 years from now, I don't know if that's going to be the same. And the reason I say that is so many screen-based designs have matured to the point where navigation is sort of set, menu items are sort of set, the way that you interact with items within an application is sort of set. And so you can almost plug and play applications that you make for a desktop. You can easily plug and play websites. I mean, there's plenty of web-based services to actually do plug and play websites.
Yeah.
And for mobile design, you actually have design systems which you are supposed to use to plug into. So what all that tells me is that these systems have matured enough where people are actively designing systems that need to be used. That will actually be the design challenge, that design systems event, and then it's literally just carrying out or executing that system. Now, why that's so interesting for designers is the more that you can create systems, the more that situations can be automated. And if things are automated, that means we may not have the same exact roles that we have right now. So where do we go from here?
Yeah, I think design is always about a certain process and a mindset, and that is the mindset of being open and flexible to change that process and learn new skills along the way to apply them to problems that aren't maybe similar as before, but the solutions are going to be different because you're going to be applying them in new technologies that have come out over time. As you said, it was all screen-based design before, and now we're moving into conversation-based design, or the forever dream of ambient technology in the smart home. And all of those things don't necessarily have screens, but the problems remain the same. We want to design an interface or no interface for the user to be able to do new things.
Well, to quote, I don't know if it's a quote, but to call upon good old Professor Clay Christensen, it's all about the jobs that need to be done, right? And so you're really going back to that primitive state that so many people think of design, and they crack open Sketch or they crack open Illustrator or Photoshop and they say, okay, what's the wireframe I'm going to put together and how does this look? And all of a sudden, when you can't do that, it really goes back to this primitive state of the job that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And you have to start there. But I do want to step back and just, again, frame this with a little bit more context of Raft. Because I think looking at this from a company point of view is also incredibly interesting, and not just from an individual designer point of view. But every day at Raft, we have to look at what type of projects that we want to bring to the company and what types of projects we accept at the company. And many times we have done in the past many screen-based designs of, you know, UI or website work. And this is all great. But I also look at the type of work that has been coming in over the last year. And this has been more around bots. This has been more around connected devices. This has been more around voice.
Yeah.
And I have to look at all of these different programs and I have to say, are we set up from a designer point of view to take those programs on and do an amazing job and deliver clients value? And if we are not set up for that, that's where we need to take action and either hire new designers or retrain the designers that we have with these new skills. And so it's a combination of both. But for any design company out there or anybody who is looking at their career, this is very important because you're going to have to think about how do you evolve your company or how do you evolve your career based on the products that are going to be being created within the next several years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. That's why I said for people who are graduating university right now, the space is going to be so different. So maybe you've learned all this screen-based design, but in 10 years from now, it's going to be so much voice that, you know, go back to school and take a class in drama and figure out how you develop characters and personalities. Take a class on writing because you need to figure out speech patterns. So those are those interesting things. And that's why it's so incredibly interesting from a company point of view about how do you shape a company.
Yeah. And I think at work, we see that people are always learning on the job. They're always picking up new skills while they're on a certain project. Everybody that works for Raft is always trying to push it into one level of quality further than they could go previously. And I like that we don't use the traditional job silos of you're an interaction designer, so you do wireframes. You're a visual designer, so you make it look good. And you're a motion designer, so you make things move. Now, we let people actually explore what they're good at so we can use that later on. And people will actually grow into whatever type of designer they want to be and also the one that they can become, like the best version of that.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, people may start out, for me personally, I started out in graphic design and I just wasn't very good at it. I eventually moved over to interaction design and found that as a spot. Now it's still both design, right? It's still both this idea of what needs to be communicated and what needs to be accomplished within the work that you're doing and how do you make users understand that or how do you make it usable for people?
Yeah.
So both of them are very similar, but it's an incredibly different set of skills and incredibly different discipline. I totally agree with you. From an individual designer point of view, within Raft, I really hope that everybody doesn't silo themselves, but they are excited. And this gets to a point of where things are going to be moving forward. So if we look forward, when we talk to people, when we're first starting to hire people or look at people to hire, one of the things, let's take a visual designer for an example. One of the things I ask a visual designer, any visual designer that has come through Raft, is I'll say, what happens when you design a bot, right? What is your job as a visual designer when you design a bot for Facebook? Because you can't control the font. Right? That's all set for you. It's in a little window. All that's set. So what is your job? And if that person says, well, there's not really much visual design in there, then that's a concern. That's something that worries me because that person is not opening their mind to see what does visual design really do and where can it extend to?
Yeah, exactly. We actually worked on a couple of different bots at Raft over the past year. And all of them really required a good look at the visual design of how those responses of the bot worked. So that users actually understood how to use this new technology that they hadn't used before.
So for me, what I love about this is when somebody, when this could be a visual designer, could be any designer, looks at this and says, well, I don't think there's any necessarily visual problems, but let me explore the other areas of expression. And this is what's so interesting to me is I think visual design is an expression of a brand. It's an expression of an emotion that you want to carry through. It also does things like support the behaviors that you want, support the priority of features within an application. What's more important? What's a call to action? But essentially, it is so much about expression. And so I want to see people look out and say, well, you know what? There isn't a necessarily visual aspect, but there is an expression aspect. There is the way that the bot responds to you. There is the personality. There is the tone of voice. There is even things like how many seconds it takes to respond. Does it respond within 0.0001 seconds, or does it respond within 1 second so it looks a little bit more human? If I start to look at visual design as expression design, that to me is something where the discipline can mature in ways that visual design will sort of top out, right? There is only a certain amount of visual design that can happen.
Yeah.
And as you move to voice interfaces and as you move to things like Amazon Echo and Google Home, the expression or the personality becomes the critical component.
This is where you need to talk more in the abstract, right? You can call something visual design, but actually you're dealing with aesthetics, and aesthetics can be in multiple forms of media that can even be sound. And I think this is where the title UX designer also comes in, which is the, as you talk to different recruiters or different people in hiring, is the most difficult term to hire for, because it's actually not really a profession. It is multiple people together can form a UX design team, but one person mostly cannot really be a UX designer, because it has to do with the user experience and all forms of expression of the UI, the hardware, the service, the flyers that promote your service. It's all around, right?
No, that's a great example, right? I mean, we have people who look at service design, which is all about, you know, the multiple touch points and how people are moving between it. Then we have people who are looking at those individual touch points. And those individual touch points, one of them may be voice, one of them may be screen, one of them may be, I don't know, maybe it has gesture or something along those lines. And so they're all different. But I love that point that I hate the title, or, you know, maybe hate's a strong word, but you're right, the user experience is a amalgam or collection of skills that could even include things that we've talked about previously, like ethics,
yeah,
right? Personality, all these situations. And one person will never have all of those skills. Most of the time when I hear people say user experience designer, what they mean is a screen-based designer who draws rectangles, right? And that's sort of the ignorance of the person asking,
yeah,
as opposed to saying, okay, these are the tasks that we need to accomplish. I'm very curious, when clients come to us, nobody ever comes to us and says, well, we need an interaction designer, we need a visual designer. They come to us and say, here's the problem, or here's the job that needs to be done. Here's what we need help with. And then we decide, we look on our side and say, here are the people that are best going to fit that. And it's funny that when you go in-house, when you go corporate side, it really does become, you are an interaction designer, you are a visual designer, or you're a hybrid, or you're a prototyper, and you get boxed in, and then that's what you end up doing day after day. And yes, maybe you hone that skill to an excellent point, but what happens when that skill is no longer needed and you haven't progressed? And to me, that's incumbent on the company to continue to educate you and teach you so you are always relevant, right? But I think that's something that we get because we run a company and we have to think about how to stay relevant, versus a corporation probably has less of that thinking ingrained in it. They're simply thinking what needs to be done at the moment and how do we leverage what we have to be done at this moment.
Exactly. So it's almost more about the soft skills, how you communicate, how your process works, and how you divide your time, rather than the hard skills like After Effects or Framer or any of the tools that you can come up with right now. Those should be interchangeable, because in the end, it is about the value you deliver and not literally the deliverable and what format that file was in. Or
yep, I cannot really deal with it well when designers say, I don't like this tool. Because I'm like, it's a tool, right? You may not like aspects of it, but it is a tool. And if you don't like that tool, let's find another tool to work with. So if I look at individual disciplines, Khus, if I'm sitting here and I'm, let's say, service designer, or I'm a researcher, or I'm a visual designer, or I'm an interaction designer, or I'm just undecided, I want to talk a little bit, and I think this is how we'll wrap things up in the next few minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about where those disciplines go. Because we just talked about visual design, right? If we really abstract visual design, it is expression. And I think visual designers themselves need to think about How do they apply expression across new forms of products? If it's a bot, if it is a digital assistant, right? If it is a, you know, gesture interface, what are the different forms of expression? But if I'm an interaction designer, what do you think is next for me?
I think you should just grab back to your process and pick apart the problem and see what are the actual things that need to be solved. And in the future, those problems can be very different. So look at the different touch points and the way that those touch points can be an interface to the user. May that be voice, and you need to look at expression and tone of voice, or maybe that's a screen again, and you need to look at new forms of screen interactions that we in the future will be using. It's all about how to solve a problem and not what to solve. You need to be flexible.
Well, I think what's great in what you said there is going back to what we said earlier in the podcast, it is really reverting to that primitive state of what's the job that needs to be done, and then in combination with what are the tools I have to accomplish that job. So for example, previously we had, you know, a screen-based tool, our laptop or a desktop, and then that screen-based tool went much smaller and went to a mobile phone. And then instead of multiple windows, we had one window, right? And that's changed the way that interaction worked. And now we have to go over and say, well, the tool is an in-home connected assistant. And that, because of that's voice, it is more of a linear string of commands. So in that way, and we've mentioned this long, long time ago on the podcast across many episodes, but voice is not good for browsing. So then I have to start from an interaction point of view. I have to really start thinking about the multiple touch points and how do all these things come together? So how do I create a system out of all of these different pieces? Because no matter what company you look at, any of these larger companies, they are all ecosystems and they all have to be connected. And designers are still tend to look at one piece. And as designers, and I think especially interaction designers, mature, it's really going to be thinking through the systems and the job to be done in combination with the tool that needs to accomplish that job. And once you get those, getting back to those primitives, you know, to me, that's really the foundation of interaction design, but I think it's gotten lost so many times because we've just relied on screen-based tools, and now we have to really go back and discover our roots again within interaction design. So that's one thing. And then I think the last thing, Chus, to mention is that you're going to see all these different disciplines start evolving. And whether we call them design or not is somewhat irrelevant, but they are all about the experience. And this could be personality designer. In fact, I know some of the big five companies do have personality designers for their digital assistants, right? It could be, we've talked about ethics designer. And I've even read things that executives are bringing in philosophers as consultants or as full-time people to discuss things with, because so many situations now are not black and white. It's not just, I need to accomplish a task on a screen, but there is privacy, ethical situations. As you move into situations like self-driving cars, there's life or death situations. And so there really is some sort of philosophical conversations that companies need to think about that is much different now and will be much different in 10 years than it was 10 years or 20 years ago. So you're really going to see the discipline evolve and expand within the experience. And I'm really curious to see how a lot of design schools as well grow over the next decade to support these different types of products that are going to be coming to market.
Yeah, I think you need to keep in mind that there is a trend of now. I was at the Next Web conference last week, and there was a lot of talk about AI as a amalgamation of different technologies together. But what they were talking about is that automation of any type of repetitive job or any type of simple job, we will get better at this, and more of our current jobs will stop existing. But where they still find it a tough nut to crack is the creative jobs. So therefore, I definitely see the number of creative jobs towards the future going up, because that's something that is still hard to automate and take away from us.
I'll make a beautiful pitch here, ironically using the word beautiful. There is a society or company, I don't know exactly what to call them, but the Business Romantic Society. It's another spinoff of Frog, similar to what we are, but they do something completely different. They do a conference every year that I love called the House of Beautiful Business, and it is all about humanities and humanities within technology. And unlike so many conferences or so many people who are maybe, you know, 30, 40, 50, who want to discuss how do we rehumanize technology, which basically means I remember in the 80s and 90s and that seemed nicer, so I want to do that again, right? What these people do is really say, what is emerging and how do we craft the humanities into that? And that to me is such an interesting topic. And again, that's a philosophical topic. That is a topic that is just screaming for new types of disciplines to be born. So when people say that AI is going to take away our jobs, right? I look and I say, well, maybe screen-based design and design systems. I hope it takes away those jobs, frankly, because it leaves open some of the jobs that are so much more interesting and involve critical thinking and these different types of skills that just, I mean, it blows my mind the types of things that could happen in the next 10 years and that I want to see happen. And it makes me so excited to be part of this field.
Yeah, it will start to have us think again.
Actually, I would say that's a comedically good way of wrapping up. Because so many times, yes, you're just doing your wireframes, you're just dropping buttons in, and now so much more thinking is going to be coming.
Copy-paste is the death of creativity.
You always have these really nice sound bites that I want to put on Twitter, but I hate Twitter.
Twitter is not a sound bite place, it's a quote place.
Twitter's a dump. Oh God, dumpster fireplace. I've said it's stupid. Okay, well, it was great talking to you. Another great episode, and yeah. We are out. Chus, I will talk to you next week.
Bye, man.
Later, man. What I love about these, I was talking to somebody at the conference today about doing the podcast and just thinking that it really does give us a way to think about how we articulate so many of these ideas before we go to clients and talk about them. And unfortunately, the podcast audience gets a lot of the sort of rambly stuff, but it's great to just get it out and experiment with it.